entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Hey, that's me and that's us, Go Yard, and we're excited to be here. Me, Mama Mac, and my wonderful, famous, highly busy, very, very busy, Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. And this week, you're getting ready to do a whole big training for a whole week long. And
yeah, I'm always busy. You know me, I'm a rocking and a roller.
Doing all kinds of stuff. You got a book almost ready to come out.
Yeah, waiting for the proof to come back.
And you went to the Library of Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, isn't it? You got a lot going on. Plus, you have 20-some therapists that report to you and your daily job.
Yes, I do.
Plus, you're a mama of three. And you say, what? Yeah, there you go. Say, why am I telling all this? Because you're so highly qualified and so much fun to do the show with. 2+ years now.
I know.
We're in our third year. Exciting. You can go to our website, which is goyard2014.org, and catch all these other shows we've done with topics, with titles on them. Big help, isn't it?
Huge help. Huge.
Give them an example of some of the things that are on there. I have 2 years of stuff. We have it all.
Parenting, domestic violence, anxiety, survival through spring break and summertime with kids, holidays,
right.
Dealing with difficult family members, how to fight fair.
Right.
We have done so many amazing shows.
Yes, we have. So there's over 2 years of shows on our website. And each week we are... they're putting the show after we leave here tonight on podcast, and it's right here on Tantalk's website, which is tantalk1340.com or tantalknetwork.com. Either one will work. And so anyway, we're live in the studio tonight. Sometimes we can't be because of our travels, but we are tonight. If you want to call in and join in to the conversation, Bobby will answer the phone and patch you through to us. 727. I'm talking too fast. 441-3000. 727-441-3000. Or you can text directly to my phone. And a lot of people like to do that during the show and comment, and we try to get those comments in. That number is 727-888-4171. And we want them to send questions to our Gmail account, right, for the next Q&A show.
Absolutely. Send your questions in, because we would love to include your questions in our next question and answer segment.
Right. GoYard2014@gmail.com. And we had a great question and answer show 3 or 4 weeks ago. If you missed it, you can catch it on our website or here on the Tantalk Radio Network. So anyway, all good, and of course, our shows are on the weekend on StarcomRadioNetwork.com at 12 noon, Saturday and Sunday, which is really good. We had a marathon weekend last week.
We did. That was so cool.
Saturday and Sunday for like 12 hours each night, some of our Go Yard shows and some of our Sunday shows, and nonstop, no commercials. It was crazy. So we're grateful for that. That was wonderful. So we got a new topic tonight, Dr. Angel. And, you know, we take these topics very seriously, don't we? These
yes,
are not
we do.
Just things we just, you know, look in a book to find or anything. This is stuff that comes from real life experience for both of us a lot of times.
Absolutely. Most of these topics are birthed from conversations and things that are happening during the week, and when we start seeing themes and patterns, we're like, let's do a show
on that. That is exactly the way we do it, isn't it? Yes. And you know, that's, and we meet for lunch a lot of times, and all of a sudden we're both on the same place.
We walk in and we're like, what do you think? What do you, and it was the same.
This is what happened yesterday, Bobby. Totally. It's just like, we're in sync. Hey, maybe it's doing the show for so long here already.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're thinking.
I think so.
Yeah, thinking alike. So this show is a new series, and we'll only get through part of this because the more we talked yesterday, the more came to us that we really wanted to help people in this area. And that's the goal of Go Yard, right? You want to talk about that?
Oh, yes.
What is our mission statement, Doctor?
Our whole mission is helping you to hit those home runs in life.
Right.
You know, we don't want to just exist. We want to live and live life well.
And we both know an awful lot of people who aren't living up to their potential.
Absolutely.
Who suffer on a daily basis. I've been a pastor, done counseling, not with a counseling degree like our resident expert here, but years of experience. And I've heard some of the same things over and over and over again with people about how growing up, they came from very dysfunctional, difficult homes.
Absolutely.
Very common.
One of the core things that when we start wrapping things, you know, I'm a root grower. I go down for roots.
Well, you are, yes.
You know, sometimes people will come into counseling because they're having marriage issues or they're feeling stressed or they're anxious. And we start getting down to roots. There's a lot of roots that happen from dysfunctional families and things that leaves behind in us.
Absolutely. Yes. And we cannot minimize the effect of that.
Oh, absolutely not. And sometimes it can affect us in ways that we didn't even realize or have noticed in our life. And until we kind of get out and start looking at some of those roots and dealing with them, it's going to continue to negatively impact our life as well.
Absolutely. And you like to say this, and I want to make this point again. Some shows maybe don't, you know, aren't exactly what you need right that moment. But when you go back in our archives on our shows, there are going to be things that are going to help you. I know different ones who've gone back to that series we did on creating borders or, you know, boundaries in our lives and domestic violence and things. Different ones have said those shows that they've gone back like a year later and listened to them again have really helped them. And so, you know, if you say, wait a minute, I didn't come from such a dysfunctional family. A lot of times it's a matter of degree, don't you think, Doctor?
Oh, I mean, huge degrees when we're talking about dysfunctional families.
Yeah.
Because it can be minor things that still kind of create some of those things in us that will interfere with our adult life if we let it.
Yes.
Or there's can be really major things that go on in families and everything in between.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to call this series Understanding Dysfunctional Families. And by understanding, why is it that we are understanding? We are not saying curing dysfunctional families, are we? We're not saying, you know, we have all the answers for dysfunctional families. We're not saying that. We're saying understanding dysfunctional families for a reason.
Well, we have to, it's a complicated thing when we're talking about families, period.
Right.
When you add dysfunction, it makes it more complicated. And understanding it will help us to understand who I am based on my experiences of being a part of a family, healthy, unhealthy, functional, unfunctional, wherever I am on that continuum, and help me understand how that's impacting my life, maybe how it's holding me back, so that I can understand how I can move forward and heal and create that Go Yard life.
Absolutely. And, you know, the Go Yard life is hitting a home run in life instead of striking out. And there is no age limit to being able to understand how your past is impacting your present.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no age limit to that. You know, if you're 20 out there, if you're 40, if you're 60, and you recognize some issues here and you go, wow, we're going to give you some answers on how to handle these things better, aren't we?
Absolutely. You know, when I hear people come to me and they're like, but you don't understand my family, Dr. Angel, but they're just never going to change. And this is not about your family changing. This is about you
That's a great
making
point.
Those steps to change.
Yes.
Because if you start making some steps to change and grow and get through some of this and heal, it will change your interaction with the family dynamics in a lot of ways. Will the family still be dysfunctional? Most likely, unless everyone on board starts seeing it, which is really rare, but it can happen rarely. But this is about you.
Right.
And about you learning how to acknowledge it, understand it, cope with it, work through it, and how to stay healthy. yeah. for yourself.
And how to heal from some of the absolute awful stuff that happens to people as they're growing up.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of our listening audience, and you may be one of those out there listening right now, that says, if you had any idea how bad it was as I was growing up. And you know what? We hope that this series will help all of these, whether you have been one of those that suffered majorly or one of those that suffered very minorly. It's important that you understand what's happened to you and how that impacts your present and your future.
And how you can move forward. Because a lot of people get stuck in that, you know, and you know, well, it's because I learned this in my family and now this is just how I am. No, you don't have to stay there.
That's right. That's right. How can you define family dysfunction?
You know, it's really broad. And I started thinking about this. I'm like, it's any condition that interferes with healthy family functioning.
Okay.
So sometimes we'll go through family, you know, all families go through stresses. They're going to go through times where there's just extra stressful circumstances. Maybe a death in the family, maybe an illness in the family.
Right.
Maybe there's financial stress. A healthy family can go through that stressful time and kind of come back to normal functioning within a reasonable amount of time.
Right.
Dysfunctional families, they just live in that crisis mode and they function. Problems are chronic, so they're not, you know, acute. We deal with it. We move forward and heal. They become the chronic. And really, the kids in these families are not getting their needs met in some way.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
that's what kind of puts that line across with dysfunctional families.
So I guess what I hear you saying is there's a lot of drama in dysfunctional families, correct? There's a lot of blowing things out of proportion, perhaps.
Oh, it can be.
Yeah, Bobby, she did it. First time tonight. It can be. All right.
Yeah, they can be very dramatic. They can be very closed off. They can, you know, just not be able to handle the stresses of regular everyday life.
Right.
They may have boundaries. There's a lot of things that kind of can come along and create this thing we call dysfunctional families.
Right.
You know, and it's funny because I'm scrolling through Facebook the other day and somebody put a little meme on it. I guess that's the word for it. A meme, a little, one of those little picture cartoons about, oh, I put the fun in dysfunctional family,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and we're trying to make light of it, but it's really serious because it really impacts who we become.
Yes, it does. It does. Absolutely. So whoever you are out there listening, if you'll stick with us in this series, I think it's going to help you tremendously recognize possibly for the first time, dysfunction that you grew up in and how that's impacting your life now and what you can do about it and some healthy choices you can begin to make. Would you say that's what we're doing?
That's all that's all about, trying to get onto the healthy track.
Right. Absolutely. Just like when we change eating habits, you know, I had a doctor appointment this morning and I heard myself saying, you know what? I recognize now that I'm being really more, you know, aware of what I'm eating, that I'm purposely not eating as much junk, you know, chocolate, whatever, because it's front and center. I'm more aware. I'm counting calories, you know, so I am more aware that I don't want to waste calories on this, right? Exactly.
Yeah, it makes a candy bar not so worth it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, except for a special treat.
Exactly. And that's what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to kind of put a light on this. We need to be able to see it, you know, understand it, kind of see where it impacted our life so that we can move forward. A lot of times, I know we said this, but a lot of times people get stuck in that dysfunctional family cycle. And so, well, because I grew up in, you know, maybe a parent was an alcoholic or a drug abuser or whatever
or
was
screamer.
Going on, or a screamer or whatever was going on, then they kind of make it their excuse for their bad behavior as an adult.
Right.
And then they have children.
Right.
And so now their bad behavior, and it's this never-ending cycle.
It is. I agree. The kid that grew up in a home where their opinion mattered not, they were ignored, basically. They were, you know.
Or I'll see where people will come from dysfunctional families, and they will overcorrect it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that, too.
Total opposite side. So maybe they came from a very strict, dysfunctional household, and now they're these over-permissive parents, and they are causing just as much harm on their kids, and they don't see that.
Right.
This is where it came from. This is why I'm doing it. This is the damage that's still happening.
Yes.
And so that's why we're doing this.
I like what you just said a minute ago, shedding a light on it, putting a light on these different things, because a lot of times we aren't aware that what we grew up in was actually, quote unquote, dysfunctional.
Absolutely, we don't.
Because it was
that.
Normal.
It was our normal.
It was our
Doesn't
normal.
Everybody do this?
Right. And then you grow up, let's say you meet somebody, you get married, and you're talking about how we're going to handle our discipline with our children. And then there's this discussion that ensues, and it's like maybe two people are from the opposite side of the world on that that topic.
Which can create a lot of parenting conflicts.
Right.
But it can even impact how we relate with our spouse or our friends.
Yes.
Or all kinds of things about who we become in our life. And so, like I said, I'll have people come in for marriage counseling and we'll get down to the bottom of it. And this is really baggage from when they were their childhood.
Yes, baggage. Yes.
It really is.
And, we can't put that baggage off on anyone else. It's ours that we have to either carry or deal with, right?
Once we become an adult, it's our responsibility for our own lives.
I mean, if you're getting ready to get on a plane and you've got this carry-on bag and it's like too heavy for you and you didn't think about it and think through carefully and this happened to me, so I'm telling you what. Okay, so this carry-on bag and it's full of stuff, and it needs to go up here, but I had just hurt my shoulder and there was no way I could get it up there. And so I had to ask this guy, hey, would you please get my bag up there for me? But I mean, I should have taken responsibility for my own bag, but I didn't plan ahead.
But you took responsibility for help.
Oh, good point.
And you sought the help you needed.
I did. And then when we were very good, thank you, Bobby, and we were ready to get off the plane, he automatically got out of his chair, got my bag, put it down. I said, wow, how sweet of you, But yeah, I felt kind of like, oh, I didn't think about that I wasn't going to be able to lift that thing,
And sometimes our baggage is too heavy for us to lift alone.
There it is. And that's a good point right there.
And seeking responsibility may be seeking outside help and intervention.
It turned out to be a good metaphor, and I had no idea where I was going with it. Okay, so here we are. That's what happens to us all the time. Tell us how dysfunctional families work. Give us some characteristics, Dr. Angel. I want to know so our audience can say, I grew up in that. In fact, if you have a piece of paper, you might make some notes while Dr. talks about some of these ways dysfunctional families work.
Okay, so as we start outlining some of these things, your family may have had some of these. They may have had all of these. They may have had a couple, and that's kind
of had all of these.
I'm going to say you have a very hard degree of some dysfunction.
Yeah, we feel very bad for you.
But they'll kind of help you gauge of what was dysfunctional and what wasn't. There's no such thing as a perfect family. Carry baggage
Absolutely.
From our family of origin. And sometimes dysfunctions happen in good intentions.
Right.
And so it doesn't mean that your family was these horrible, awful people.
We're not saying that.
They had maybe had their own baggage and got stuck in it. And so this is why we're kind of putting the light on it. So one of those things is emotional expression is not allowed or respected between members. And how many of us have heard of parents go, don't you cry about that, or dry up those tears, or
boys don't cry,
or you can't have a nightlight, you shouldn't be afraid.
Right.
And those are some of those things that kind of stop that emotional expression, and kids start to learn it's not okay to express my feelings.
Right.
Who become adults who believe it's not okay to express my feelings,
and
they stuff them.
And that is a dysfunctional thing because we all have a right to express our feelings, not stuff them, obviously, but let them out, right?
And absolutely. When I teach parenting classes, I always teach every feeling is acceptable. Not every behavior to that feeling is acceptable.
That's good.
But that feeling is acceptable. If they're angry, they can be angry. We can't throw a chair through the room, but we can be angry and we can learn healthy ways to express anger.
Wow.
But as parents, we want to be really careful that we are not stifling our children from expressing
emotions. I have heard
emotions.
That kind of stuff for years, haven't you? With
Absolutely.
Other parents in playground situation, school. We don't act like that. Our family doesn't do that. Or, you can't be angry like that.
Or when the kids, skins their knee and they get hurt and they start crying. I'm like, shake it off, be a man. And they're like five. You're just like, it hurts. It's pain. It's real pain. Right. It's physical pain. It's not just emotional pain. And so that's one thing that a characteristic of dysfunctional families is they repress our ability to express our emotion and feel safe doing it.
Yeah.
It's not respected. It's not safe. So if you do it, you're criticized or you're demeaned or something negative comes that teaches you the message.
Or you're punished for crying or whatever the case
may be. Or if you don't quit crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about.
Oh, gosh. I've heard that.
How many times have we heard that one?
You ever heard that one, Bobby?
I have.
Yes. If you don't stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about. Yep. Okay.
And so that's one pattern of a dysfunctional family.
Okay. Let's have another one.
Another one is members can't freely ask for or give attention to each other. And so,
explain that.
Okay, so like a little child wants to crawl up on mom's lap and cuddle, and you know, mom, I'm busy, and she shoos them away, and so they start to learn that it's not okay. I can't ask for the attention that I need. We all need love and attention. Or sometimes if a parent's giving attention to another kid, someone else is jealous, and it's not okay to give it. It's not okay to ask for it, and we need that. That's an inner core human need.
Oh yeah.
For that love, affection, attention, hugs.
And it's not necessarily on our timetable.
No.
Especially if we work from home, okay, for instance, and the little guy, whatever, comes up and this needs to be held for a while. I mean, I have that with my baby puppy. And sometimes she just needs to be held. You know, she makes those little sounds and comes and, you know, licks my leg. And it's like time to hold her for a few minutes, you know. And it happens with my twins, too, my granddaughters,
all the time.
They need to be held and cuddled and all of that. And if one wants to be held, the other one usually wants to, same time. But, hey.
That's how it works in families. And so what happens when we aren't given that need for that attention that we all will need, some undivided attention, we learn to get it from maybe not so good places as we age. And so these might be people who fall into a lot of relationships that are just not ever working out because they need and crave that attention. Hugs, you know, a lot of times boys are taught hugs are not okay.
Right.
We need physical touch. It's a part
Absolutely.
Of who we are.
Yes.
Or they become so cut off because they were so deprived that they just can't have anybody
touch them
ever.
Yeah, hug them.
And so there's like two extremes that can happen when we don't get that attention.
Absolutely.
And we're taught we're not important.
So as these are things that may have happened to some of our listeners, that these are also things we're calling attention to so that you can make changes in your own life now with your own children or grandchildren or whatever.
Absolutely. And, you know, look, and, you know, I'm the kind of person who has gone through, you know, 25 failed relationships, and I just can't seem to... Let's look at what's going up under that. So that's why I want to give some adult type of behaviors for some of these roots, because then it's easier to, oh my gosh, that's my struggle. I don't want anybody to touch me or hug me. It just makes me feel so off or that's
And, you know, if you're recognizing any of these as we're talking about them, get a pen and write it down so you know what it is you're going to be working on and how. And we're going to, of course, give you help on how to.
Oh, yes.
Really,
we're going full circle on this one.
Yes, we are. All right. Give us another one, Doctor.
And dysfunctional families' rules tend to be made ambiguously, and they change frequently, which means we don't know what's expected.
Right.
What today may be okay, tomorrow may not be and get me grounded or get me in trouble.
Right.
And so there's no predictability, so things are always changing. So I don't know how to act and respond when I grow up in a family that the rules and expectations are always just
always
very
changing.
Ambiguous. And so I don't feel safe and secure.
Right.
So these are people who have a lot of anxiety as adults.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because they don't know what's expected of them. They don't know how to achieve or succeed because every time they try to meet the new standard, the standard's changed.
Yes.
And so these will be people that you will see that will really struggle with anxiety type symptoms.
Right. Absolutely.
They may have panic attacks when they're trying a new job because that fear of what if the rules change? What if I can't do it right? They always feel like they're not good enough.
Whoa, that's important. We're going to talk more about that one. And we come back from our break. Listen to these songs. Good. Is this Crystal?
Yes.
Bower Socks? What's her last name?
You to take care of me. Honor that mother, and father too. But I know there ain't no way in hell that God mentioned you. All I ever wanted was you to be there for me.
Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Doctor, I want you pick those songs, and you normally do, you and Bobby. But would you tell the names of those? Because, and I was, did I get her name right? Crystal Bower Socks?
It's Farmer's Daughter by Crystal Bower Socks.
And she was the runner-up in
American Idol.
A few years back. I remember watching
a while
that
back
season.
Ago. Yeah. Yes. And actually, that's a true story about her own dysfunctional family. And then the second one was Because of You by Kelly Clarkson, who also was the first winner of American Idol.
Exactly.
So those are really powerful
really
songs.
Some powerful songs. So those might help any of us and all of us, you know. Good music, good music. That you're listening to Go Yard. We are a life coaching show. Our goal is to teach people how to live life betterly. Yeah, more fulfilled, betterly. And
it's fine.
You like that? Better
that works.
All right. And to really deal with issues, there's not a topic that we aren't afraid to tackle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of our listeners said that a couple weeks ago in a response after a show, that it just is good that we tackle whatever. And that is what we're all about. We want to help our audience. And so tell friends about the show. We are so blessed to be on this radio station now in our third year. And on StarcomRadioNetwork.com every Saturday and Sunday at 12 noon Eastern, you can catch this show we're doing right now this weekend, played again. So, Dr. Angel, we are discussing understanding dysfunctional families. And I found that very interesting. The last, how do dysfunctional families work? And you were talking about why does all this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And the last one you said, rules tend to be made ambiguously. And they change frequently. I'm taking notes because this is good stuff. And there's that unpredictability, and that is not good for kids being raised in homes where they never know if they're going to be in trouble for this today and they weren't yesterday, correct? Is that what you're saying?
So true. And it definitely creates an environment of fear and anxiety.
Right.
And so they become adults who can't trust their environment, may not be willing to take a risk or try to go to school or to get a new job because that fear and anxiety can be very crippling through life. And so a lot of times those are some of the outcomes that can happen. Is that only the outcomes? No. And does that have to happen? No. But those are some of the outcomes.
But we know a lot of people that have problems with anxiety and panic attacks, right?
Oh, yes.
And this could be a root of that. That's what I'm hearing you say.
It totally can be a root of that. Anxiety is just really based in some kind of fear of something going. So when today I do this and it's okay, and tomorrow I do this and now
I'm in trouble.
I'm in big trouble. And tomorrow and the next day another thing is expected. I don't know how – I have no predictability and security in my environment.
Yeah.
So I don't learn that this world is a safe, predictable place.
Yeah.
And so that is one of those dysfunctional family characteristics.
Okay. Give us another one.
The rules don't adapt to individual needs and situations. This is rigidity we're talking about. So it's the same across
rigidity.
The course.
Yeah.
You know, these are all the rules. And, you know, every person in the home has different things that are strengths, different things that are weaknesses. I mean, I have three children and I had three sets of rules because every child had his or her, you know, his own expectations. And when it came to grades, some children had higher expectations. Some had a learning disability and there was a different standard. Because each person's an individual.
That's very interesting. Yeah. So you didn't have the same standard for all three of your sons.
It would never have worked. Not okay. Every person could perform at the same exact level.
That's good.
Was there the expectation of truth-telling and respect? Yes. But that even looked different depending on the kid's strengths and weaknesses. So when rules are just straight across and they're too rigid, what we learn is that we can't control... To be perfectionists, you'll start seeing OCD anxieties. It's a different anxiety, but OCD is an anxiety disorder. You'll start seeing eating disorders will develop.
Okay. Yeah. It all makes sense.
And some of those are kind of rooted in this rigidity of there's just no flexibility.
Well, the child feels they can't measure up.
They can never get there. The bar is too high.
Right. Yeah. And every time they think they're there, then it's changed.
And then that creates a lot of conflict between siblings because maybe one can get close to the bar and the other one's way far away. And now we have this inner conflict. So one's being compared to another.
Oh,
that happens all the time.
Yes, happens.
Why can't you just make good grades like your brother or like your sister? Or what's wrong with you? And so those are some of those things that come out that now I have to cope with it somehow. So we'll internalize it. Maybe we'll start having OCD. Maybe we'll become extremely rigid in our own lives, really anxious.
Right.
Try to gain control through other means like bulimia or anorexia. And those things will start to develop.
Whoa. Okay. All right. That's very, very interesting. Give us another one here.
Well, kind of piggybacking off the last one, families that don't allow for individuality or creativity.
Right.
And some families really stifle out the differences that we have, and we are different, and, you know, we all have different skills. And like I said, I had three kids, and I had totally three different human beings in my house that all had different strengths, weaknesses, and they were all totally individual, and allowing them to develop. You know, a lot of families, the kid's born, oh, you're going to do the job that your dad did. You're going to be expected to do this. Oh, well, you're not really smart, so you can just get married. You know, and they label these kids.
Yes.
I mean, my sister and I were having that conversation this morning, and she's like, you know, mom and dad just expected me to get married. You know, like there was no expectation for her to try something different or better, so she did.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot in our families.
Exactly,
and
it does.
That's one of those dysfunctions.
Right. Yeah, and I think a lot of parents see a child and they want them to be exactly the way they have already dreamed that they were going to be, you know.
Or to fulfill a parent's dream.
To fulfill a parent's dream, absolutely. I've told this before, but my youngest son, Mark, his dad wanted him to be in the medical practice with him, you know. And so he went right along on that. And wow, that was a noisy bottle of water.
Sorry.
Did you hear that, Bobby? That was a great sound effect.
It was a great sound effect.
Golly. You're making my point there, doctor. Anyway, and as it turned out, he got into college in the second year, and he called and he goes, Mom, I don't want to be a doctor. I've decided I don't want to do it. I don't like the labs. I don't like any of this. I don't want to do this. But it's going to make Dad really upset. I said, no, you let's go with what you want. Now he's a law professor and he's successful and he loves what he does. But he had to take that turn for himself, you know, and he didn't want to hurt his dad. But sometimes, you know, we get our kids boxed into performance expectations and they don't know how to get out of it. And they end up in jobs or careers that they don't really want.
You know, we've had several Q&A questions that even,
yes,
you know, my
that.
Parent wants
yes.
me to take over the family business
right.
and I want to be a teacher or whatever it was. I don't remember. But in adulthood, that can still be a struggle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And so we definitely, you know, those families that don't allow for that individuality and creativity have a dysfunction to it because we all have things that excite us.
Right.
And it may not be the things our parents might have thought should excite us.
Right. But a lot of times here, what we're saying is parents have a already preset expectation.
They can. And does that mean that their intent was to harm? No.
Oh,
their
no.
intent was for success or for you to have a great thing. It just wasn't where you were. And
right.
so a lot of times dysfunctions happen out of good intentions.
Right.
So I don't want to demonize or villainize families
no,
that
no,
have
no,
these
no.
struggles. because a lot of them just happen from good intentions. It just has negative effects.
Exactly. Okay. Give us another one.
Well, keep piggybacking. Members are discouraged to pursue their own interests. We kind of just took that in, and that's in that individuality and creativity. Boundaries between individuals are violated or they don't exist. Families who don't have boundaries or violate them all the time have adult children who struggles. Families who don't teach their children to close the bathroom door when they go potty aren't teaching their kids that their body is private and sacred.
Right.
And a lot, that's a big one I'll see broken in a lot of families.
Really?
And they don't think about it. Oh, we're just all family and blah, blah, blah.
We all walk around naked.
Those are kind of important boundaries to teach our children. And
exactly.
So boundaries can be with our words, with our bodies, you know, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Families who don't have boundaries about, like, expected behavior.
Right.
Even expectations are a boundary. Or when we eat dinner, do we even have some kind of family boundary of how our week or day should flow?
We've talked about this before, about the tendency in our nation now, it would appear, that a lot of people don't have an evening meal, let's say, with the family and everybody sits down together because we all live in such crazy, you know, run lives. But it is important. Wouldn't you say, Doctor, that it's very important to plan a family? You do that with your sons. Of course, one's in Alaska in the Army now, and Joey just went to college, but you do that with Spencer.
We do, and we have, and, you know, and sometimes things have to be flexible, you know, radio nights, I'm not home at 5:30 for dinner, and so we've learned to flex it, and that's part of our family boundary, though.
Right.
And so it's the unspoken Thursday night, it's fend for yourself night in my house, where everyone just gets to make their own dinner and eat when they're ready to eat, and the rest of the week we're eating together.
Right. It's good. It's good.
But that's still part of our family boundary. And so families that don't have those boundaries have kids who really struggle because they don't know. Boundaries teach us what is ours and what is not ours.
Okay, good.
And so they become adults who don't really know what is theirs. And so a lot of times they're giving away their power. They're giving away their freedom or they're getting walked on all the time. Or they're taking too many freedoms and powers from other people. And, and either way, it's causing all kinds of havoc in adult life.
Yeah, where they don't, they've never known to respect somebody else's possessions or
So
their computer or their phone or whatever.
Well, like you'll see it all the time with like the little kids that are like interrupting their parents in the middle of an adult conversation.
Oh my gosh, that drives me crazy.
Drives me nuts too. And so those parents don't, you know, teach their kid, you know, wait your turn.
Yes.
And then I'll get to you. They just instant gratification who become adults who want instant attention all the time.
Right.
And so that's kind of how it flows through.
Right. Okay.
So boundaries are important.
Boundaries are.
Another one, members just not being treated with respect.
Yes, because we should even treat our little tiny children with respect,
Humans. And there can be, you know, especially older generations, that attitude, you know, kids should be seen and not heard. What they think doesn't matter. They're still people.
And it's really a good idea to have family meetings with them and family activities where everybody is, let's do this because this is his favorite thing to do. Let's all go and do that. Miniature golf, for instance, or, you know.
And those are some great ways to show respect to other family members.
Exactly, right.
And you may even see between parents disrespect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so that's creating this form that it's okay to talk down to somebody or to ignore what they want or not to listen to them.
In domestic violence type homes where you have a lot of that, it's disrespect is the core, don't you think?
There is a core of disrespect.
Yes.
And it doesn't even have to escalate to domestic violence to still have those negative impacts in our life.
Exactly.
So having families that don't respect each other can definitely impact us in life. Members that fear emotional, verbal, physical, or sexual abuse. That goes without saying. That's dysfunction. So if you were afraid of any type of abuse, that is dysfunction.
And, you know, from my experience through the years and yours also, we have seen so many people that grew up in households where little girls in particular, but sometimes it's little boys, have been sexually abused by an older family member or a sweet little old uncle who seems very sweet, or, you know, I mean, it's a common problem, isn't it? You see it in therapy. I know you do.
I do it all the time. And so all of those abuses are even the fear of it.
Right.
So parents who may threaten really harsh punishments, they may not follow through, but it's still putting that child in the fear that this could really happen to me.
Yes.
Like you could really, you know, beat me down or put me in the grave. I know a lot of parents, I brought you in the world, I'll take you out.
Yeah.
Those could create those fears that have that same impact in our emotional development for us. So those go without saying. Those are all dysfunctions. And belittling, berating, putting people down, that's all a dysfunction.
And it causes kids to grow up and feel unloved.
Yes.
Because if you've been put down, if you've never been cuddled or held or, you know, that kind of thing very much as a child, it makes a big difference. I mean, you know, I do this new puppy. I'm going to bring him back to a dog. But with my little puppy, Macklin, I got her at 10 weeks. And I have made a concerted effort with this little dog to have these cuddle times. And she just cuddles right up under my, you know, chin. And other people that meet Macklin, they realize when they get to know her that she loves to cuddle. And so she, you know, it's a thing that I am actively doing to make her loving, not fearful, because my other dog seems to be fearful of so much. And of course I got her a little older. Mm-hmm. So I've been working on this with her. But we, you know, that's a puppy metaphor. But I mean, with children, it's so important that they feel safe.
Safety is huge.
Safe and loved and that you want to touch them and hold them and cuddle with them and read them a book and tuck them in bed at night. I could go on and on.
You could go. We could.
Yes, because being a grandmother, I tell you, it's all this stuff is very important.
It really is. So kids who come out of families that had the fear or real experience of any kind of abuse, emotional, physical, verbal, sexual abuse, they get the messages, I don't like you, you're not worth anything, you're not important, you're not valued. Those are the messages that write on the core of their heart. And then they become adults.
Right.
Who act in those messages.
Yes. And don't you find, and I know you're going to say it can happen, but don't you find that people that have had that kind of an upbringing, it can be... It's just hard for them to give of themselves much to people. I mean,
they're just used to being taken advantage of. Then
that's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah.
The doormat in a lot of their relationships.
So it's easy for them to fall into that same type of abusive relationship.
Right. They set themselves up.
That's what I'm trying to say.
A lot of times they are adults who are in some kind of abusive relationship for their intimate relationship.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely. They do. The next one is children. Let's see. Our parents cannot be counted on to provide care for children and their needs.
Oh, that's so dysfunctional. Oh, yes.
You know, children need the parent to take care of them.
Yes.
That's why they're children and not adults. And when the parents
don't,
you know, some parents think, I put a roof over your head and food in your belly and I'm providing for your needs.
No,
needs are much more complex than that.
Right.
There's emotional needs and there's time needs and there's, you know, all kinds of needs. And so when that doesn't happen, that's a dysfunction.
Yes.
And it creates in us difficulties that we'll bring into adulthood most of the time.
Right.
Children may be expected to take on the parental responsibilities.
Oh, I've heard that out of many, many people that maybe if they were the oldest child of, I have a friend that she was the oldest child of 10. And so, you know, mama kept producing babies and whatever. And she was cooking at a very young age. This kind of thing is not that uncommon.
Not at all.
Especially with big families, don't you think?
And it maybe, doesn't even have to be big families.
Okay.
It can just be a parent decides that, you know, they're not going to do it. And the children are expecting the children to take on taking care of, you know, younger siblings. And there's some of that about part of being in a family. But when it's constantly I'm doing the adult's job.
Right.
That's not okay.
No, that's not okay.
It's not okay to do the adult's job.
Right.
The adults need to do the adult's job.
And so if you grew up in one of those families where you were made to be the adult, really, and the disciplinarian of the younger kids and bathe them and put them in bed and all of that
walking
stuff.
Walking them to school and like
you're being
all these
the parent. You've been the parent.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had children who've had to remind their parent to pay the rent.
Oh, my gosh.
And you didn't remind me this month, and that's why we have the eviction notice. And they're really seriously in session yelling at, like, an 8-year-old. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
You sat there and witnessed this?
Yes, I have, on more than one occasion, unfortunately. And so that's not a child's job ever. And a child's job is not to meet the emotional needs of the parent.
Right.
And a lot of times parents, you know, they have kids because they have their own baggage of needing to be loved and not getting attention. So now I'm going to have this thing that's going to give me attention all the time. But they don't realize we are to give the kids attention, not take from them to feed our own buckets.
Yeah.
And so that creates dysfunction when that happens.
Wow.
Children may not, may be expected to, or we did that. Freedom to make mistakes is not allowed. It's not okay to make mistakes.
That is unfortunately common in a lot of homes.
It is.
Mistakes and are not tolerated. Whether it be grades or whether it be, you know, just behavioral issues, they don't allow it. So it really stifles kids. It really does.
It really, yes, it does. Because mistakes are part of how we learn and grow.
Right.
And so there's a good quality to making some mistakes. Families who have secrets, that's a dysfunction. Lots of families have secrets. And they can be all kinds of secrets, and they can be secrets about all kinds of things. But if there is family, if our family that we grew up had secrets that it was just never okay to talk about, blah, 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 whatever that is, that's a dysfunction.
It is.
And they won't talk about their secrets in the family, definitely not outside the family.
Which goes to so many times you hear people that have been abused as children, let's say little girls, and mama really did know it was going on and didn't know how to stop it, or afraid of being beat up herself if she did try to stop it, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Family. There's many scenarios like that.
Family secrets can go on about all kinds of things, from substance abuse to, you know, a parent using a drug or some kind of abuse of a child, or just emotional manipulative kinds of things, or families that are trying to live to a religious standard outside the home at a church, and they right. have all these family secrets of all the stuff that's going in that's not okay.
Right.
Those are family secrets, and family secrets can definitely have a dysfunction.
Yes, yes.
And they just may not be allowed to develop outside relationships. And that kind of goes hand in hand with family secrets. Families who are very fearful of their kids hanging out at someone else's house, because, you know, what are they talking about or what's going on? You know, there's a safety factor.
They may
factor.
Tell that daddy beats mommy, you know.
And I see it all the time, especially in therapy. Parents who won't, you know, let a child work one-on-one with the therapist, they have to be present the whole time. Well, what are they going to say? And it's like, ooh, stop. It's okay.
Right.
And that tells me right there's some family secrets up under here, because, you know, that's we need to have outside relationships.
Absolutely.
And so those are some of the big dysfunctions. Is that all of them? No. I could talk here till next Thursday probably and still not have found all of them. But these are a lot of the bigger
right.
core things that are dysfunction.
Okay. So next week we're going on with this, and we're going to talk about this dysfunctional family problem in much more detail, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And we're going to break down some of those real types of dysfunctional families to kind of give you more. But stick with the show, because it's going to come full circle on how to get help and to heal and move on and grow through it.
Well, you know, our philosophy, I think, Doctor, is that you got to expose the problem before you can talk
yes.
about how we're going to come out of that and heal, et cetera, and move forward, don't you think?
You do. And you have to be able to give enough light that we can really recognize what this problem is.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, one of the things that makes this topic so challenging, because it's such a broad topic.
Right.
And there's so many ways a family can be dysfunctional. And families who have no rules, that's a dysfunction.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and so, because that creates kids to learn that I can do whatever I want. And
right.
life doesn't work that way. And so we could just go on and on. And so I want people to be able to say, okay, I can kind of see this. I see where this was in my family.
Right.
And now what can we do?
And I think this is a perfect opportunity to offer, as we always offer ourselves, to answer questions. I mean, they have an opportunity right here with you, Doctor, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. You deal with this every day. You have therapists working under you. If you want to send your little story or your question or how do I deal with this dysfunction, be specific, and because it will go no further than right here between us.
And you know, and if you want to submit a question and you don't want it talked about on air, just say private,
yeah,
and it won't
absolutely,
be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you don't even have to use your real name either. So that's also true. But we want to help people. That's the goal of this show. So goyard2014@gmail.com as our email address, goyard2014, because we started this show 2 years ago, it's 2014, goyard2014@gmail.com. Or send a text, and that is 727-888-4171. And, you know, tell us what you want answered. Or the reason I emphasize email is because you can be so much more
lengthy.
You can say so much more, right? And doctor, you will provide answers.
Yes, I will. And like I said, if you don't want it on air, that's fine. Just mark it private, and it will stay private. And
absolutely. So, you know, there's hope here. This is like you said, a huge, huge topic. But there's a lot we're going to cover that's going to help a lot of people. And I'm excited about this, no matter how many weeks we're on, two or three or four, who knows? You know, we just let it roll.
Let it roll. Fully examined.
All right. So do you want to do any recap of any points that you really wanted to say one more time before we get out of here, Dr. Angel?
Well, one of the biggest points I want to make is that, you know, a lot of people come from some type of dysfunctional family in some way, and there's different degrees. And so it's not about the blame game about, oh, my gosh, now I see my parents were terrible people and it's all their fault. I'm a mess now. It is not. It's our responsibility to, when we become adults, to recognize it, get the help, and move forward. So
that's
your
exactly
life
right.
is your power. So take your power.
Take your power.
Take your power.
And find the help you need, you know.
Yes.
But and tell people about our show and that, you know, this is the goal here, is to help as many people as we possibly can. You can listen to this show again this weekend at noon Eastern, starcomradionetwork.com/starcomradionetwork.com, Saturday and Sunday, 12 noon. And, of course, we'll be back live next week and excited about where we're going with this topic, right?
Yes,
questions,
we are.
goyard2014@gmail.com, 727-888-4171. Dr. Angel, it's been fun.
As always.
Yes, absolutely. Parting word?
Oh, I don't have a parting word.
Just stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Join us again next week, Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. Eastern, right here on TAN Talk, 1340.com and 106.1 FM now, which we're very excited about, and 104.3 FM. So we're on five stations right here, plus Starcom Radio Network. God bless you. Have a great week. We want to see you back with us next week. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard and Bobby, our wonderful, cute engineer.
Good night.
Single.
Good night.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.